Thanks for having me, Dave.
A big ticket news item here recently was that President Obama took Bristol Bay Waters off the table for oil and gas exploration. This has been a fight fought for decades. This is an indefinite ban, and it seems like good news for the fishery or fisheries.
It does. It does. There are some a few naysayers out there saying things like, "Well, the president his decision could be." Reversed by the next administration, or there wasn't that much oil and gas offshore development pressure in the region in general. But the only comment I have to offer there is that when the President of the United States singles out your region and puts it on media, that can only be a good thing.
This is a long way from our rivers here, but it does impact our salmon fisheries in Bristol Bay.
You're right. Yeah, it does. The area out there is known to support a lot of habitat for crab and halibut, but it's also one of the primary routes that those spawning salmon return to our bay from.
Can you sort of describe for the listeners where that is if they haven't seen it on a map?
Yeah, the proposed oil and gas lease area kind of resembles a triangle that follows roughly the coastline from Port Mueller west about 150 miles.
Okay. Let's move down to some other news here. It wasn't long back that the U.S. Congress passed a budget that included a lot of funding for fishery-related efforts. What in that caught your eye, and how does that impact us?
Well, yeah, as most of us know, the Congress recently passed a new budget, kept us from going into another government shutdown, thankfully. And the neat thing about this budget is it includes a lot of money for fisheries, and specifically about $30 million for salmon management, about the same amount of money for data buoy funding, which is where we get all of our weather updates from. We got another $25 million for sonar mapping, and a lot of that's going to map the Bering Strait, and the Arctic, which is going to be more important as shipping routes keep opening up there.
Okay. Something just popped up in the news this week that I wanted to ask you about. It was on seafoodnews.com that there's a new direct flight between, or at least proposed, between Anchorage and China. What do you know about this?
This route is run by Dynamic Airways, and they're a relatively new company that started out in 2010 from Greensboro, North Carolina. One of the ideas that's come up is that this might open up some more seafood markets, especially, and this could be especially important as the Chinese market continues to grow as their middle class becomes more prevalent and they start consuming more salmon. So as far as things go here in Bristol Bay and with wild salmon in general, this could be definitely a good thing.
Okay. Now, before we let you go, I noticed you were at a presentation 2 weeks ago, Hank Boggs, a Dillingham resident, finishing up a certificate program with the university, and he has been doing some very neat research. There's more life in the Nooshigak estuary than I think most of us probably know. That's what I learned.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I took away from it, too. And the sort of punchline, I guess, is that there's more than just salmon out there. And what Hank did was he put a bunch of amphipod nets or plankton nets out during various tides throughout the last winter right down here at the city dock, and caught a whole bunch of amphipods and another little critter I believe called an anthropod.
What are these?
These are basically just little bugs, similar to those little potato bugs that when you poke them, they roll up into a ball. They look a lot like that.
Can you see them with your naked eye?
Oh yeah, they're probably about as big as your thumb.
They're in the tank here at the university, I think.
That's right. Todd Radenbaugh has a bunch of them in his tank.
So Hank was collecting these, and the research goal was to what?
Well, the motivation behind this research was just to sort of document a little bit more information about these creatures that live on the bottom of our estuary here, and a lot of it is driven by the fact that there isn't a whole lot of research out there about these animals.
And I think one of the other neat things that Hank did with either his spare time or part of his project was he got into the smelt that everybody was catching last year. And I heard him mention that he did almost an oral history and asked people, and they said, "We have never had smelt like this before." And what was that all about?
That's right. He found some interesting results in that there were smelt going all the way up to Lake Olechnagik to presumably hide under the ice and get away from the belugas, which, if you'll remember, they're pretty active out here during the winter months feeding on the smelt. So that apparently had never really happened before, and it kind of raises questions about, you know, in the future as ice formation becomes a little bit rare further down in the Wood River, where normally it would be. How is that going to change how the smelt behave and where people can find them when it comes time to fish for them?
Well, thanks, Gabe. We appreciate you bringing us news of the industry here on KDLG.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dave.